Hello, everyone. You're listening to Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul. I'm Barbara Lanehard, your host and poet in residence. The table is set. Come on in. Join me for some coffee or tea. It's just you and me today. Settle in for some poetry and prose. Why do I do this podcast? Poetry bolsters and heals the soul. It is a refuge. In this podcast, I put my life in perspective through poetry, mine and others. I like to promote other poets, so I hope you can share some of your work. Information on that is provided at the end of each episode. My memoir today is The Art of War, Enter the Dragon. International Women's Day is coming up on March 8th, 2020. I dedicate this episode to all women. Weighing heavy on my mind today is the ongoing abusive treatment of girls and women. I was a rape crisis volunteer when I was a graduate school student, so this topic is important to me. The recent conviction of Harvey Weinstein for a criminal sex act and third-degree rape calls to mind the Me Too movement, the missing and murdered Native American women, domestic assault, sex trafficking, rape and abuse of girls and women, and cultural assumptions that women are inferior and somehow deserving of diminishment. Considered the weaker sex, women are described as easy pickings to potty-mouthed man-boys who feel entitled because they're in positions of power. Aristotle, a Greek philosopher who lived from around 384 BC to 322 BC, taught that men should command and women obey. This way of thinking of women's place in society can still be seen. It is the basis for all abuse of women and the rise of feminism. Poetry Foundation has a series called A Change of World, An Oral History of Poetry and the Women's Movement. It's sad to think women even had to do battle in the arena of poetry writing. For example, in her novel in verse, Aurora Leigh, Elizabeth Barrett Browning's character, Romney Leigh, said of women in that era in 1857, "Therefore, this sane world, unaccompanied by you, must remain uninfluenced by you. Woman as you are, mere woman, personal and passionate, you gave us doting mothers and chaste wives, sublime Madonnas and enduring saints. We get no Christ from you. And verily, we shall not get a poet in my mind." But this is a deep subject, kind of disturbing view. It shows the mixed view men have of women, doting mothers, chaste wives, sublime Madonnas, enduring saints, and no poet. I can't explore the topic fully. I realize men and boys are also victims of abuse, but my focus today is on girls and women due to time limits. In any case, the Western views of women have deep roots, stemming all the way back to the classics, as well as our holy books. Groups that are stigmatized and demeaned, objectified, they are easily abused and victimized. And we women are taught to take it. Abuse is our fault. Not only that, but we are expected to be compliant and polite, not make a scene. The claims of abuse are often ignored and diminished by the very people we are supposed to trust. We are expected to stifle our inner strength, our inner dragon, our martial spirit. So my memoir today is about that inner dragon, the protective beast that wards off the jackals, those who wish us harm. According to Chinese mythology, the dragon spirit is our instinct hewn into courage, strength, and power. As a totem, it is a strong ally. Maybe that is why one of Bruce Lee's most famous movies is entitled Enter the Dragon. However, dragons have their dark side like any mythological beast. Some cultures associate its shadow side with evil. I am more interested in the positive attributes here. Like any animal totem, a jackal can have positive attributes, but metaphorically, the jackal is also cunning and deceptive, an intelligent scavenger and hunter, a trickster. My focus is on these attributes in my word choice, jackal. Women need to honor their inner dragon and utilize its power against jackals of all kinds. On a day-to-day basis, we women may have to resolve conflicts at home, at school, at work, and other places. We face some situations that require us to reach down deep for that dragon, our brawn and grit, in order to prevail. Bullies and perpetrators, the jackals, assume females are weak, easy targets, but we are actually very powerful. We women have an inner dragon, our beast of instinct to call on when confronted by danger. I'd like to relate some of my experiences, especially those interactions that were potentially dangerous for me throughout my life. In each confrontation with a jackal, I had to use my grit and break social norms that I should act as polite, compliant, nurturing, and a nice female in all social interactions. As Sun Tzu teaches in the 5th century BC Chinese book, The Art of War, the best generals found ways to avoid war. They used strategies involving deceit, psychology, strategic power, and diplomacy. Having keen instinct was crucial in developing strategies. Why do I quote Sun Tzu? Because women can be not only poets, but also warriors. When I was a young girl, more than once, some guy would try to lure me into his car. Want a ride? And I was sometimes offered candy as a bribe to comply. Sun Tzu warns not to swallow a bait offered by an enemy. I instinctively knew not to be tempted. Or a truck would be following me and seem to pass by, only to reappear later, stopped with the door opened, as though I would be snatched if I were to pass by. Sun Tzu says to be versed in the art of varying your plans. In these cases, I instinctively knew to change my direction quickly, get out of the way and find a public place. I learned to develop 360-degree awareness at a young age, walking against the traffic to make it difficult for a car to turn around and pursue me, checking around to see who was too close, and even today looking to see if the way to my car in a parking lot is clear of strangers, and if so, returning to a public place until the way is clear. I seem to know when someone is behind me and will suddenly stand aside to let them pass. In high school, I earned extra money by babysitting. One night, good friends of the family wanted to go out to entertain a couple visiting them. When they arrived home, their male friend offered to take me home. I wasn't comfortable with that, but I didn't want to embarrass my parents' friends by rejecting the offer. Our friends were good people, so maybe he was a nice man. Despite my instincts warning me not to comply, I agreed to his kind offer for a ride home. Nice man, not so. In the car, he started inquiring about my boyfriends and asked me personal questions about sexual intimacy. He even talked dirty. So here I am, trapped in a car late at night with a stranger who is leading up to something. Maybe I would be attacked and thrown into the river. According to Sue, I was on desperate ground because I had no refuge. I remember I had a long metal nail file in my purse, so I took it out and glared at the jackal. Sun Tzu would call this throwing something odd and unaccountable in my enemy's way. I'm sure the jackal considered me defenseless in that tight space, but the moonlight reflected off the long nail file into his eyes. The ride seemed to take a painfully long time as I clutched the file with a grip that would not loosen if I had to blind the jackal. I arrived home safely. My parents complained to our friends, but I didn't know what came of it. From that experience, I learned that sometimes the jackal can get in the house through the back door. When I was in college, I was able to save money by living at home just a short walk from the campus. One day, I became aware of a guy stalking me. He was muscular and of average height. He had slicked back brown hair, bird-like eyes, and a hawk's nose. He seemed to be studying me in the library where I worked part-time and other places on campus. My hair stood on end when he was around. I heard he had served time for rape, not a good guy. One day, I was home alone, a rare time, because my family was large, and it seemed someone was always at home. It was a winter afternoon. I heard someone step up onto the porch and knock loudly on the door. My sweet dog, Shep, immediately started barking and growling. I saw through a side window in the living room that it was the stalking jackal at the door. How did he know I was alone? I wasn't answering the door. He said, "Let me in." I said, "Go away." This went on back and forth. He became more and more demanding, and I told him to leave many times. The phone was a few feet away. Why didn't I just call 911? I was so caught up in the interaction. The door was locked, and also everything seemed to happen so fast. In any case, I resisted his orders to let me in, and he finally left. Shaken, I told my parents when they returned, and my dad was livid. It wasn't long after that we saw the stalker passing by. My dad, having just recovered from a heart attack, somehow mustered the strength to admonish the guy and threaten that if anything happened to me, what he would do to the guy. And the jackal said, "She enticed me." I avoided a savage attack because of my instincts and my dog's protection. Also, I realized I refused to be compliant by doing the polite thing, opening the door for a guest. Sun Tzu cautions to be stern so that you might control the situation. Sadly, I also realized women are ultimately blamed for their own vulnerability despite showing great strength. And another thing happened to me in a grocery store. I was shopping, and this was when I was an adult woman, and a man started invading my personal space. The jackal persisted in telling me to leave with him. "You're going home with me," he said. I didn't want to make a scene, so at first I simply said, "Leave me alone." I tried to go back to my shopping and ignored him and not give him any power. Nonetheless, he was on my back, literally, like he expected me to be obedient and leave with him. "Beat it," I said, increasingly annoyed. "You're bothering me." But he didn't. He didn't leave me alone. Fortunately, he didn't show a weapon. On and on this went. I tried not to make a scene, which only empowered him. I didn't have a cell phone in those days. I trusted the store employees would help me out. Not so. Standing in line, I still had to deal with the clanging jackal. Again, I was taught as a minister's kid to be nice and not be disruptive in public because it could make my parents look bad. Turn the other cheek, say you're sorry. I figured a public altercation would be better for me in the checkout lane than one in the parking lot because I would have to leave the store with the jackal biting at my heels. Then who knows how many other jackals would be waiting for him to deliver the prey to the pack outside. I decided to take matters into my own hands, even though I would look crazy and unhinged, which is another unspoken rule for women. Don't be disruptive and rebellious. Don't talk back to men. But women, we need to be persistent, right? Sun Tzu teaches, let your rapidity be that of the wind and rush like a torrent which will even roll stones along the course. I turned around, leaned into him, looked him straight in the eye. In a loud voice, I spoke with authority and a few unsavory words that bullies do not think women will use in public. I yelled, and pardon the word choices, get the F out of the store. Leave me alone. Stop following me, you effing a-hole, and get the F out of here. Well, I said even more, right to his face. Sun Tzu says, be as a falcon whose well-timed swoop strikes and destroys its victim. The jackal was stunned as though he didn't expect a woman to refuse to comply to his commands to leave with him. He seemed shocked that a woman actually swore at him and gave him orders. Instinctively, I knew to leave an outlet free for my enemy because he was able to find a retreat. He left the store quickly. After my victory, no one showed an interest in me. Maybe they were frightened of me at this point. Stay away from her. What a bitch. No employee offered to help me to the car. I even told the checkout clerk what had happened, but still there was no offer for assistance. As a result, I complained to customer service, and later I noticed a security guard had started working at the store. My next experience, yes, I seem to attract jackals, happened fairly recently. This verbal altercation happened midday close to home on a national holiday. I wanted to take a walk, go to the bank, forgetting it was closed, and stop in at the library. Just be out in the sun. Just walk. Another point, because I was recovering from joint issues and injuries, I wasn't walking very fast. My planned route was to stay on Broadway to get to the bank, avoiding 10th Street because there is no sidewalk on part of it. By some stroke of bad luck, I made the wrong turn and still ended up on 10th Street. A man next to the Salvation Army across the street saw me. Here's the poem I wrote about what happened. It's called The Art of War, Enter the Dragon. He sees me at a distance from the Salvation Army. The soft glow of my white hair, my short stature, and square hips. A slight limp, a slow stride. I am an easy mark to a desperate bully. Ma'am, ma'am, come here, come here. It's like he's found his prize. He doesn't see these deep lines tracing the fingerprints of my soul on my small face. Each mark a scar. A battle won. I am no kitten. Come here, he commands. I hear shouts of dominance, impatience, and irritation. Does he think I'll cross to his side? I veer into the parking lot of a bank. It's closed. Ma'am, he's crossing the street in pursuit of me. Come here, he demands, like he's calling the pigs. I take to the ATM area to get to Broadway. He's advancing. Leave me alone, I yell. Go away. He's on my back. Ma'am, ma'am, give me money. Leave me alone. Go away now. I do not cower to extortion. My duty is to self. Give me money, money. He flashes the cigarette butt, burning into his fingers. He shows his teeth, planted cockeyed behind tense lips. I show him my piercing eyes, the flames, my shield, my sword. I am no stranger to bullies. No money, go away. I advance to his face. My scars deepen as I scowl. My spirit finds its gateway. My light is charged. He persists, speaking loudly in another language, but not imploring. He isn't my tribe. He doesn't know the rules here. I've read The Art of War. Do not press a desperate soul too hard, whispers Sun Tzu. However, I assess the enemy's slight build. Should he touch me, I'll advance and strike him under the jaw and with the root of my palm. Throw him into the ATM. His screams will be filmed. Money now! He practically hits me with his near-empty bottle of Dr. Pepper. I see no tears or pleas for pity, only dominance over an old lady. Show your banners, beat your drums, exclaims Sun Tzu. I glare at the offender with the eyes of a dragon. Don't let my shape or size deceive you. I am a round stone gaining momentum down a steep slope. I will sweep you away into a chasm. Still, he demands money. His tone, you, woman, give me money. No, I yell, leave me alone, go away. Sun whispers, on contentious ground, attack not. Lure the enemy by pretending to flee. One moment, I suddenly nod my head. I open my purse, and the perpetrator doesn't grab it. He thinks I'm getting money, but I take out the phone. Police, I yell, I'm calling the police. 911, police. I gather myself, my troops, and my honor. I withdraw slowly back onto Broadway, my eyes always on my foe. I wave my phone at him as a new saber. The baying jackal curses and retreats into the shadows. Battle bleeds another scar. Victory, purifying fire. Harmony, restored. Such is the art of war, nods the smiling sage. If you're interested in the book, The Art of War, there are several editions available. I just happened to find one at Barnes & Noble. It's a Barnes & Noble classic, translated by Lionel Giles and edited by Dallas Galvin in 1910, with annotations and commentary. The teachings in this book are not just widely studied by generals, but have been applied to many fields by, yes, poets, business professionals, politicians, and strategists in many areas. And now you know, a manual for women on how to deal with jackals, and then write a poem about it. And in fact, the spoken word is strong on the topic of sexual assault, abuse, incest, and rape. Sites such as allpoetry.com, Family Friend Poems, and Into the Light have hundreds of poems written by girls and women and males about not just their trauma from these heinous acts, but also their survival. Here's one example I found on familyfriendpoems.com by a young poet named Letitia. In the introduction to the poem, Letitia states, I was sexually abused by my uncle, stepfather, and my aunt's boyfriend when I was growing up. This poem is talking about how what writing basically got me through my situation. I always say that when I feel like no one understands or like I'm not being heard when I try to speak, I just write because my paper and pen understands me. Before I read her poem, just a few reminders on facts about rape. Over 90% of child victims know their offender, with almost half of the offenders being a family member. Of sexual assault against people age 12 and over, approximately 80% of the victims know their offender. This is from California Megan's Law website. Another disturbing fact is the claims of rape at the hands of family and friends by these young victims are often dismissed and discounted, creating more trauma and feelings of fear, shame, and isolation for victims. As a result, the cycle of violence becomes a way of life, as Letitia's poem indicates. I just write. I can't talk to anybody. I feel like nobody understands. So I pick up some paper and grab me a pen. You see me smile, but if you only knew the things that I hold on to and just can't seem to let go. I know I must forgive, and I said that I do, but I don't really think that I actually do. Forgive my mother, my uncle, stepdad, and aunt's boyfriend for the pain they put me through as a kid. I spoke up. No one listened. So it continued on, and I just didn't mention the things that went on in the middle of the night. It's happened before, so maybe it's all right. At 5, at 8, at 9, and 10. Over and over and over again. She caught him, forgave, got married. Nothing changed. I'm over it now, I really am. But I think about it every now and then. Have trouble sleeping at night. I laugh about it now, especially when I used to sleep with a knife. I know the only way to get over it is to open up and speak. But when I spoke when I was younger, no one heard me. So you tell me, what the heck do I do? When that voice in my head keeps saying, you're wasting your time, no one cares about you. I can't shake that. I've believed that my whole life. I'm just glad that God gave me a pen, paper, and the ability to write. 'Cause when I feel like no one hears me, I just write. This young woman awakened her inner dragon through her poetry. As I think about Letitia and other abused and violated girls and women, I end this memoir with a prayer I wrote. Life finds a way. Life finds a way. Though battered and bruised, your soul pinched off like a pruned plant, your bark sheared to pristine skin, your torso shattered by lightning and storm, your limbs entangled in shackles of pain, your crown toppled over by axes and saws, your bounty sheared away by winds, your roots chopped off from sacred sources. Life will find a way to feed those roots, creating saplings in new blood, enriching the heart. May your will find the way for new seeds, new growth, around the obstacles to your being. Nature perseveres. May you be your tree of life. Thank you for listening. This is Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul, with Barbara Lanehart, host, writer, producer. You can find my poetry on WordPress at extraordinarysunshineweaver.blog. I shared my poems, The Art of War, Enter the Dragon, and Life Finds a Way. My prayers go out to Letitia, whose courage in the face of ongoing rape and assault is clearly seen in her poem, I Just Write. There are hundreds of other poems like this one at familyfriendpoems.com under Healing from Rape with Writing. Again, I would like to highlight the fact that both men and women, girls and boys, endure rape, incest, and sexual assault. Also, females are capable of performing these acts, not just men. In this podcast, I limited the scope of the topic for time purposes. If you know of cases of rape, abuse, sex trafficking, or incest, especially against children, or if you are a victim, please report it to law enforcement authorities. Only by prosecuting the offenders, the jackals, can we stop these vile acts. Perpetrators are found in all social classes, occupations, and races, both males and females. We can't make assumptions about who is capable of abuse. Check out California Megan's Law website to read the facts about sexual assault, rape, and abuse. Don't forget about Sun Tzu, The Art of War. There are many editions of this book available. Mine is translated by Lionel Giles and edited by Dallas Galvin in 1910. If you would like to contribute poetry to this podcast, you may submit it to me in a Word document attached in an email to me at meelosmom.gmail.com, meelosmom at gmail.com. On the subject line, indicate it is a submission to this podcast. I can fit it into any theme. In the email, indicate any pertinent information about yourself and publications you want me to promote, especially for the work submitted. Again, thank you everyone for joining me. Just leave your cup on the table. I'll take care of it. I hope you stop by again for a visit next time on Poetry, the Memoir of the Soul. You will always have a friend here. Remember, you too can write your own poetic memoir.